Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast brought to you by Wandering One Studios and your host, Link Flores. That's me. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. Today is Wednesday, April 10th, and that's going to be a shock to some of you because this podcast is usually recorded the day before on Tuesday. But yesterday is, it was trying. I haven't been feeling so well. And thought everything was just running really hot. Like it just, hands felt hot, my face felt hot, and was just kind of struggling. So it didn't really get it together. And then I slept for a good chunk of the day. And I'm like, you know what? I have to record a podcast, but I'm just so beat. And I also still had to make a couple of batches of salsa because people have been asking for it. And I did that. And then by the time I finished, it was almost 11 o'clock. And I'm like, I just don't have it. So you're getting it late, but you're getting it today, which is still good. So thank you all for your patience. Thank you for your patronage. Whether you've been listening to the show for free on your podcast platform of choice, Audio Boom, or however you've come across it, whether a friend or family member or coworker showed it to you, thank you very much. And while we're speaking of patronage, thank you guys for supporting the Patreon over at patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios, where you can get two bonus episodes a month cultivated from your questions that you leave me on Patreon. So send me a message on Patreon and you can send a comment, a question, a recipe, just you name it. Let's get fun with it and have some interesting content to put into this month's episode. Last month's episodes were not happening because I only got one question. So I was like, oh no, what do I do? So I've come up with some ideas on how to cook that content up. And hopefully we'll be able to make those episodes this week. I'm thinking maybe tomorrow on Thursday when I have some more free time as I prepare for what's supposedly going to be a really action-packed weekend. I have some friends coming in from out of town from my Twitch community, from the online gaming community, and they're coming to hang out with myself and the WAF and the fam. So yeah, it's going to be a busy weekend again, and we're going to try to keep pushing through. So yeah, keep your ears open for the Patreon episodes. I'm going to try to get those done tomorrow, so they'd be available on Patreon at patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. Also, please feel free to stop over and visit me on Twitch, where later on today I'll be doing some game streaming. Haven't really decided the format yet. I know I wanted to push more role-playing games, but I know that that's mostly for me, and so I'm trying to re-engage with certain content that I did before, like the shooting gallery streams that I usually did on Friday nights, and I'm thinking I might bring those back and just kind of shuffle through different shooting games. You guys know I stream a lot of Destiny 2 with my clan. Even though I have major issues with Destiny's content, as we'll talk about a little later, I want to try to engage on some different kinds of games. So I'm thinking maybe I'll push the Gears of War franchise into the summer. See if I can't finish up some of the games in the series that I haven't finished yet, including Gears Tactics, Gears of War Judgment, and also Gears of War 4 and 5. And there's another mention about that. It's coming soon. So in the end of the near the end of the podcast this time around. And also if you want some Wandering One Studios merch or some Link IB stream merch, head on over to streamlabs.com/linkib/merch. You can pick up some various items that I've got over there on the store. New updates will be coming. It's been a mother of a year, and we're just into April, and I've been struggling. So please bear with me. It's coming. I'm trying to slowly polish things up and get things squared away, but aside from the demands of, doing podcasts and streaming and then personal life, there's other things that I want to try to accomplish this year that I've been kind of dragging with. Motivation's been lean, and like I said, I haven't been feeling well or sleeping well lately. So that's kind of impacted my energy levels as well as my desire to get up and do stuff in the studio. I need to find a workout regimen as well. Lots of stuff. But anyway, while we were talking about gaming, let's go ahead and pop into the gaming content first and foremost. Get some of that out of the way for the people who are tuned in for the other stuff. I have some good news coming. Some exciting news in the world of gaming, I guess, depending on who you are. I know that Gears of War has announced that they're pushing a Gears of War 6, which looks like it's going to be, obviously, it's the next iteration of the Gears of War franchise. Not a lot of details as of this recording, but it seems like we might be getting some more information this summer, which I'd be very curious to hear about. I love Gears of War as a franchise, and I always have. I think Gears of War 4 just kind of hit a weird change in tone for me, where it switched less from the arcadey, super action-y, you know, 80s action movie, bro chest-dumping kind of vibe into more of a survival horror vibe, which was off-putting for me, and I'm trying to work my way through it, but let's hope that Gears of War 6 maybe is a return to form, still keeping the things that made Gears of War a fun franchise to play and that engendered me to the series in the first place, but that also kind of, you know, improve on the formula. I don't know that survival horror was exactly where I would have seen myself with Gears of War, but, you know, franchises change and evolve, and so hopefully they turn for the better. And so we'll just wait and see after I get through Gears of War 4 and 5, and hopefully I can get through Judgment as well. Through the summer months, we'll see if we're primed and ready for Gears of War 6. But I'm excited. I've been a huge fan of this franchise for a very long time. And there's some other things that I'm not necessarily so excited about. Not that they're bad, just, I don't know, some of the news is hitting kind of weird for me. So Sea of Thieves, very popular open world shooter exploration game, is finally coming to PlayStation 4 and 5. Which is cool, because more people that get to experience the content of Sea of Thieves, the better, I think. I also honestly had a lot of fun when I was playing it very actively. I loved chasing down other ships. I loved doing the side missions and sailing around with the crew, running random encounters on islands, digging up treasure, fighting off the Kraken, or being chased down by the Megalodon sharks. Those are interesting and sometimes stressful, and always in interesting encounters. But the one thing that's kind of bugging me about this new Sea of Thieves thing is that there's a special item exclusive for PlayStation. And I've always had a problem when it comes to a cross-platform game pulling a singular exclusive for one platform. It bothers me because it locks out either something fun that other fans might be interested in, or it locks content out entirely for swaths of the community who play the game on various platforms to never get the chance to experience. This is not such a big thing. It's just an item. It's a flag item, but it just happens to be the logo for the game Dauntless, which is annoying because Dauntless originally came to Windows PC and then went to other platforms. And so it was perplexing to look at that and go like, what was the thought process behind making this flag item an exclusive for Sony? I know that Sony likes to throw money at franchises, hoping that they'll be able to draw them away from whatever platform they made a home on. And I know that Microsoft is opening the doors up more now for more crossplay, more of their, what do you call them, like their first party titles, such as Gears of War or Halo, to be released on other consoles. And I think that's also a win for the industry, because other people now who may not have had access to the platform get a chance to experience the games that were locked to it. And that's different than like having, in my personal opinion, having a console exclusive game is not really an issue as much as having a multi-platform game have a singular exclusive for one console. I don't know if that makes sense to somebody or anybody who's out there, but I've tried to struggle with a way to, you know, describe this idea and why it bothers me. But I just couldn't find a proper analogy. So all I can say is that I find it a little irksome that we're still doing this console exclusivity thing in multi-platform games. One of the best ways, I think, to put it would have been the Soul Calibur franchise way, way back before some of you probably even remember. There is a wonderful franchise called Soul Calibur, and in their Soul Calibur, the fourth iteration, they had a release across multiple platforms. Those platforms being the GameCube, the Xbox, and the PlayStation. The interesting thing about that was that they had specific characters that were locked solely to those platforms. If you had the GameCube, for example, you wouldn't get to experience what was on the PlayStation version, and, you know, so on and so forth. So I was kind of like, I get why you'd want to do that, but then one of the other things was that they were using a franchise that wasn't necessarily belonging to anyone, which is Star Wars, and they were sticking individual characters from those films or from the video games that were produced off of the films onto each single console. So if I remember correctly, I believe it was Darth Vader that was exclusive to Xbox. Yoda was exclusive to the GameCube, and Starkiller from, Shadows of the Empire, I believe, was on the PlayStation. And it would have been fun to have all three of those characters selectable or playable on all the iterations of the game on every console. And I think that that's one of the things that kind of like soured it for some people. It was like, you know what, this is cool, but I would have loved to play as so-and-so, but they're only on this game. And so if they're only on this console for this game, do I have to buy all three consoles, buy all three versions of the same game, and then so I can enjoy playing as each of those characters? It's a weird phenomenon. I don't quite understand it, and I'm really hoping that it dies out. I'm kind of over it right now. But that is just a personal gripe more than anything else. Now, as for the bigger things, Destiny 2. Oh boy, oh boy. Didn't I tell you we were going to get to this? They released this new Into the Light update. This is basically their preamble going into the upcoming DLC for the game, which is, it's expected, I believe, this June, if I'm not mistaken. I didn't bother to look this up because I've just been kind of over Destiny for a while. But the Final Shape is the upcoming DLC, and this Into the Light is kind of a next step towards the Final Shape DLC dropping. Now, there's cool stuff in this, I'm not going to lie. One of the things they're doing is they're bringing in a new weapon shader. They're bringing in the new super black armor shader, which changes your outfit a cool smoky black color, which I think is pretty interesting. They're doing a reprised mission, rehashed version of the Whisper, which is where you can obtain the Whisper of the Worm exotic sniper rifle. And then they're also bringing in this thing called a Zero Hour Challenge, which looks intriguing. And then a Horde Mode clone called Onslaught. That's not all, though. There are now going to be 12 fan-favorite weapons that are being brought back, which are termed the Brave Arsenal. The explanation is that these are weapons that were at one point were deemed heretical for Guardians to use against other Guardians or just in combat in general, but now with the forces of darkness trying to infringe on the light bearers and on the knocking on the door of humanity, calling for its extinction, these weapons have been pulled out of the deep arsenal that Lord Shaxx, the Crucible PvP handler in the game, has kind of stashed away. And so now they're being like greenlit to come back out. And the interesting thing was that they were deemed heretical, which I thought was crazy. It's an interesting way to describe your weapons. You know, this gun, this right here. I mean, it must have been like the chemical warfare of weapons that Shaxx had cooked up specifically for battle. And he's like, yeah, that's too much. So interesting way to put that. And I get that, you know, this is a new way to kind of infuse life into a game that, as we've heard before, is losing player count, is losing staff because they keep firing them, and is kind of losing interest in the public light, view of the game. So then they also have done another thing, which I'm like, this is what's happening. Something good comes in with Destiny, and then something like, what the actual fuck is going on with Destiny? Which is that they're bringing in craftable versions of the Whisper of the Worm exotic sniper rifle and Outbreak Perfected pulse rifle, which means that there will be even more broken weapons in Crucible and the Gambit, which are the two main PvP offerings for Destiny. Now, there's no new maps or arenas for player versus player content. They're not even bringing back the vaulted ones. Definitely Gambit isn't going to get any love, because why would it? For all the people I know that love and experience joy playing Gambit, myself and a lot of my friends included, it's really interesting that Destiny has hasn't bothered to, you know, bring in some new maps, bring in some older maps, or even repurpose some of the original Crucible maps so that you could use those in the Gambit, or at least have some new stuff to look at every now and again. And to me, this is kind of a brain-dead content light move, you know? There's not anything that's really necessarily new, but it's just enough to get fans interested. Because It's what they don't need, but it's exactly what they can't resist. And that's the scary thing about this. They're going to bring changes to the gameplay with some of the upcoming, you know, modifications that are being made to the content of the classes that you are able to play. There's also going to be, with these craftable weapons, a need for people to remain competitive, which means that you're going to want to have to go after these broken weapons that are going to show up, because they will be broken. It's almost a guarantee. They'll either break the current meta that's been working in the game so far, or it's going to aggravate everybody who doesn't want to have to struggle to reacquire or to craft them. And it's like no one listens. No one hears what I'm saying. And it's like, I know that this is a thing that's going to happen. It's going to be in the game. I know that it's going to be something that people will probably find a good bit of enjoyment over. But I'm just, I guess the only solace I can take of this, and I'm grateful that they're not making us pay for it. Because if you had to pay for it, I think it would be a little bit more on the nose. I'd be more upset about it. And that's the other thing that brings me up to the new DLC that's coming, The Final Shape, which is supposed to be the final chapter in the Destiny 2 saga. There's a gameplay reveal that was put out by Destiny 2. And here's the thing. The issue that I have with this is that there really isn't an issue. There's nothing necessarily wrong with what they're trying to do. A lot of this is what players have always wanted from Destiny. It looks like we're finally going to get it, but you're only going to get it if you buy it. And the pre-orders for this are insane. I think the one saving grace, again, for this is that if you pay for this DLC update, it's like you get all the other stuff for the next year or so of supported content. But then you're paying more money into Bungie, a company that has shown very, very often and very pointedly that it doesn't really listen to its players. It hasn't taken care of its own employees. And it's starting to slowly slide down a very slippery slope of, you know, squeezing money out of players at every turn. If you've been through Destiny 2's cosmetic store, the Eververse store, you've seen the various tie-ins that they've had with other games or other franchises, whether it's Mass Effect, The Witcher, even the new Ghostbusters film has a pack of cosmetic applications that you can use. So there's like a little ghost shell that you can use for your little AI companion. There's a ship model, which is basically the Ecto-1 that's been turned into like a outer space flying ship. And then there's another, I think there's another Sparrow, which is the little rideable vehicle that's themed after some of the content in the film. And I understand that people like this kind of thing. And I understand that the integrations are cool. The designs look great. I worry that that not enough people are really getting the message that this is, it's just Destiny trying to recoup their investment and to make some money back. And Bungie is really pushing it. And it's because it's so well done, it's going to grab everyone. And I've been struggling with it myself, because as much as I'm loath to give Bungie any more of my money, I'm really pissed off that they've stolen content from us that they've never given back or made any reasonable, rational explanation for why they made that decision. And they're going to keep pushing new content that we're all just going to be like, ooh, ah, and then forget, oh yeah, this is the same company that's been screwing us over for years. The funny thing about it is, like I said, it does look great. And it's, so it's a real Sophie's Choice kind of thing, where I'm struggling with the ideas that they've put forth, which is a condition that they call prismatic, where you can combine two different damage types that normally you'd have to pick one or the other. Now you can combine a pairing of the two, and as you use the abilities, they slowly start to charge up until you hit a point where you achieve a state of transcendence, as they're calling it. Even the game devs in their video documentary were just like, yeah, this makes the game feel broken. Which is not necessarily what I want to hear from Bungie. You know, you can hear the people like laughing or like going, oh my God, I can't believe that happened, you know, throughout the video. And more than a few people said, this feels game breaking. This feels like it breaks the game. This feels like it's going to shake up the meta and it's definitely going to break the game. That's not what you want to hear. Like, you don't want to hear, oh, we did this new change and it breaks all the shit you already knew. And while the prismatic subclass and the subsequent transcendence super abilities are interesting, do look functional, and also look like they're going to be enjoyable to play, It's another one of those things where, again, you get the craftable weapons that were coming up. You're going to have armor crafting, which is going to be a new thing where it's specifically designed to maximize the transcendence abilities by taking exotic perks from other pieces of armor and slapping them onto basically a blank template that you can craft. There's no way this is going to be an issue at launch for PvP, is it? Because I wonder, like, how much of this content is going to actually be accessible for people who don't purchase the final shape, but only have the core versions, or at least what's currently available for Destiny 2 up to this point. At that point, you're going to be looking at, like, are you going to have people, like, quitting matches because they're getting rinsed by these new prismatic and transcendence abilities? Is this going to be, like, okay, if you have these abilities, you're going to be gate-locked being able to only use them during these mode types? How do you manage that infrastructure? Like you said, if you're game-breaking this thing, how are you supposed to stand up as, you know, a team of Guardians against another team that's fully locked and fully kitted out with these new abilities and whatnot, and the new exotic armor, the craftable weapons? It's going to really throw the whole PvP universe up into upheaval. This is fine, you know, for the regular game content, right? You know, all the player versus enemy instances, the strikes, the raids, you know, the dungeons, those kinds of things are all going to be fine because it's basically going to be you and your buddies going against the computer. Cool. But when it's you and your buddies against another team of somebody else and their buddies and they're kitted out and you're not, you're going to feel woefully underpowered, I have a feeling. And that's going to disenfranchise a lot of people. Hopefully that won't be the case, but I just, the oohs and ahs and the groans and the constant mentioning of this feels like it breaks the game during the Vidoc made me wonder and made me worry. And I just get the feeling that not enough players are going to look at this and go, this is probably not the move. They're going to rush out and buy it. They're going to be upset that they got it. They're going to feel like they've been sold a bill of goods. And then when Bungie finally gets around to patching and fixing everything that's finally done, we'll be in 2025 and looking down at our wallets and going like, what did we spend our money on? I really hope that I'm wrong. I really hope that I'm wrong. Because as much as I don't like Bungie's moves and the way that they've operated as a company for the last couple of years in particular, I love the game itself and the community that I found by playing this game. So I'm really struggling with my feelings regarding this new content because I want to love it. But at the same time, like, I feel like I'm going back to an ex that's like cheated on me like three times and thinking like, you know what? Fourth time's the charm. This time there, I'm not going to catch him, you know, gobbling down my next door neighbor in the laundry room. You know, I just like, I'm worried that this is not going to be a good thing. And to that point, I'm struggling for stream content as well. Because while I mentioned before, I love role-playing games and I want to focus on them more because it enables me an opportunity to engage with the players, you know, well, not the players, but I mean the viewers on Twitch and to chat and also kind of fiddle around a little bit more with the game's mechanics and do silly stuff. I need to find ways to freshen things up. So like I said, I might be bringing back the shooting gallery permanently, or at least for a trial basis going into the summer months. Maybe I need to switch to a different platform or a different streaming service entirely. Maybe it's time to change gears and switch over from Twitch and maybe look at one of the other streaming platforms that's available out there. Maybe YouTube Gaming, maybe Facebook. Much as I hate to even look at that option. But what else is out there? You know, some of the other new services that have come up, like Kick and whatnot, have some pretty problematic elements behind them that I don't feel like I'd be comfortable supporting by putting my views and everything over into that basket. So I'm not sure what to do about that. Hopefully, this weekend, when we have the rest of the gaming crew around, we have an opportunity to sit down and talk about some of this stuff and hash it out, you know, as well as play some different games, too, you know. I'm kind of excited for some more tabletop gaming. It's been a thing that I enjoyed when I was younger and over the years, and I'm starting to feel like I can get back into and really enjoy more now because I'll have more people around who are like-minded and want to play. Like I mentioned before, I picked up this game called Goblin Quest, which you can find online, and there's a book available with a bunch of variations on the original theme. I even grabbed some little goblin miniatures to kind of paint up and just have some fun with. But I also like, you know, regular conventional games, you know? I remember I used to do like a poker night with my buddies, And one of the things we did was, you know, you get those little cheap plastic chips that you find like in the grocery store. It was like, oh, a pack of 100 chips for like $3. Like, great. But I kind of want to do like a poker night. You know, now that I'm a little older, you know, I'm starting to meet some other people like closer to my age, especially now I'm living in this new neighborhood. There's a couple that lives down the street from us, lovely human beings. And we got invited to their family game night, had a blast over there, even though we didn't play a single game the whole time, just having a good time talking to them. I thought, you know, it'd be really cool is to maybe get these guys around a table and throw down some poker. And that's when I came across a thing that I'd forgotten about. It's called Pirate Gold Poker. And these are high quality metal poker chips. That's right. High quality metal poker chips. Some of them, they have different variations of what they look like, but they're high craft, you know, high quality metals and whatnot. And some of them have little holes drilled in the middle of them, so they look like pirate gold and, you know, doubloons that you would have on a table. And it's really cool looking stuff. And I would love to get a set of these if it weren't for the fact that they are so freaking expensive, mainly because they're made out of actual metal, which is dope. Not gonna lie, it's pretty awesome. And you're going to feel like an ultimate badass when you slide a bunch of those chips across the table into your pot. But yeah, some of the sets start as like, I mean, I think the lowest in set that I saw was somewhere in like the neighborhood of like $150 to $200. And that's not a full set for like a game of like five or six people. That might be good enough for just two or three, maybe like three or four people. But like for a full table, you're probably going to need one of their $300, $500 sets. I can't justify it. I haven't won the lottery. And until I can get more listeners, I'm not getting sponsored yet. So Pirate Gold Poker, if you're out there, you want to sponsor your boy, let me know. I'm definitely down to get a set of those chips. I'll read your ads and stuff like that, too. I'll take a couple of practice chips. You know what I mean? I might go and buy a couple sample chips just to see how they feel and then make a decision from there. But yeah, maybe more tabletop gaming is going to be the future. It'd be interesting to see how I pull off a tabletop game on stream. But who knows? We'll see. We'll find out. We'll figure it out. We'll get there. One day, one way or another, we'll make it. Yeah. This is a lot going on. Like I said, this month feels like the longest year ever. And as I say that, I realize that I hadn't changed my calendars over. So I have a lot of birthdays to catch up on. Oh boy, oh boy. Yeah. Seems like there's never enough time. I was just like, there's so much stuff that's going on around me. Like, I've seen so many things just over the last week or so that, like, you feel like you see something coming down the line to somebody. And you're like, you know, you want to warn them, but at the same time, you're like, I've been there. I've said this. I'm trying to don't do this. You know what I mean? Maybe try this. Look at that. And then people are like, oh, and this didn't work out. And they want to be like, I don't, no one wants to be the I told you so guy. But I think at a certain point, you kind of have to. You know what I mean? They get to look at somebody and go like, yeah, I warned you about this and you keep doing it. So I guess you must really like the outcome. I don't know how you can approach that situation without like making somebody feel bad. You know what I mean? Like you kind of have to hit them over the head with it, but at the same time, not so hard that they don't trust you, but just enough that maybe it'll sink in once or twice. I don't know. All I know is that it gets frustrating and, you know, you want to help out. You want to be a good guy, you know, good gal, whatever. And you just don't really know, like, how to navigate those scenarios. And sometimes people need that. You know, they need that. Hey, I told you. What do you want from me? I was thinking of a story I heard the other day from Bill Burr when he said that they went to a wine tasting and the place had like a little ranch with a bunch of different animals, emus, camels, you know, a giraffe, and the guide told them, if you go over near the camels, just remember that they'll only want food from you. They don't want to be bothered any other way. Their necks are way longer than you anticipate, and you cannot turn your back on them because they will bite you at least, and he says, like, at least three times a month. I have to tell them, no matter how many times I say it, somebody gets bitten. And Bill says, sure enough, like, some lady was over there. What was she doing? She fed the camels some carrots and then she turned her back on him to get a selfie and the camera reached around her shoulder because she was so close it had to actually pull its neck back and then reach over her body and then bit her right in the chest, right on the boob. And when she came over screaming and crying about it, the tour guide goes, I fucking told you. That was exactly how the guy said it, apparently. He's like, I fucking told you. What do you want from me? You know, I've tried to warn you. You won't listen. And it happens no matter what I say. He's like, I say it every day. I say it every day. And at least 3-4 times a month, somebody gets bitten and they come over here crying. I'm like, hey, we warned you. I guess maybe sometimes people just need to get bitten enough times that they pay attention. I don't know. It's just bothersome to me. And because it sucks when it's people that you know, like my friends or former coworkers or whatever. You want to kind of steer them in the right direction, but they just won't listen. At a certain point, you just throw your hands up and go, whatever, dude. Like, just get bitten. You know, let the thing bite you. What am I supposed to get out of this, you know? This makes me also think of something, you know what I mean? I don't really have too much of a problem with it now that I live, you know, basically just me and my wife and the cat. But I'll tell you, man, there's something about, like, whose place was I at? It was a while ago. Whenever somebody's place, I'm looking around, and there's a party going on, and I'm looking around. There's, like, just stuff just scattered all over the place. It was kind of a disaster. But I'm like, I also didn't want to, like, ask them where things were because I'm like, I don't know that they even know. But I know here in my house, it's not really too much of a foregone conclusion to think, like, hey, if something's missing, all you have to do is just look around, man. Use your senses. It's right there. And I was thinking about that. I had a dream about it, actually, that I was back in that place. That's what brought this thought process up. And I was looking around. I'm like, where is such and such thing? Oh, it's right here under the sink where you'd think it would be. And I'm like, I've had to do that around here before. You know, like, where's this? I don't know. If you're looking for something that would be in the kitchen, maybe look in the kitchen. Look in a cabinet. Open a pantry door. You know what I mean? Like, most people aren't trying to, like, sock things away. You think I'm hiding this shit from you just to make for the giggles or whatever? You know, if you're looking for something that would normally be on the counter, try the cupboard above it or below it or to the left or right of it. Most of this stuff is going to be around 10 feet from where you're standing. You know what I mean? You need more toilet paper? Look under the sink, you know? Look in the, you know, cabinet right there. Look in the linen closet. It's weird that people don't think about that. And I realized how impactful that was when I saw it happening. I was looking around at my buddy's place. I'm like, I don't know that anything would be where I think it is because it was in such disarray. Thankfully, our place is very neat, so we don't really have that problem. But, you know, it's not going to kill you to take a little look around. You know what I mean? It almost feels half intentional when people don't. You know what I mean? Like, they leave something for you to figure out and fix later. And it's like, you know what? It's one thing if you're like, if we're in a rush, we're getting ready to walk out the door, you know what I mean? You're at work or whatever, and you're like, you're heading out to work, and you're like, I don't have the time to do this, I'll get it later, or maybe it'll just have to be something that somebody has to pick up. But if it happens on a regular basis, it feels intentional. Like, it feels like I just half do shit or just leave it for somebody else because fuck them, why? You know, not pulling your weight, though, weighs on everybody. You know, just like little things. And that's what I thought about. Like, when that dream came up, I was remembering how if whoever lived there had taken just enough time to do the little things that they were like, I'll leave it for somebody else, no one else would have to do any of it. You know? Oh, like, when I went in there, there was maybe three sheets on a roll of toilet paper. Well, if whoever was in there last had bothered to look in the linen cabinet directly across from the toilet, they would have seen like a whole stack of toilet paper. They could have even just taken one out and set it there, which is lazy and kind of a shitty thing to do, but at least they could have done that, right? So it's just like certain stuff was just throwing me off when I was back in it. It was like a stress dream. I was back in that instance and I'm like, ugh, all of this is making my ass itch. Like, I don't know what to do. But it was crazy how much it affected me. I woke up this morning. I'm like, I'm going to start cleaning stuff. And because I said I was feeling sick yesterday, there was stuff I wanted to get done that I didn't get around to. I got a lot of stuff. Not everything. And then I looked up and I found that my wife had actually taken some of the stuff that was on the counter and like washed it for me. You know, put X, Y, or Z thing away that I would have gotten had I been like a little bit more cognizant or a little bit more awake or alive even. And she did that. I'm like, that's cool right there. You know, I don't like leaving that kind of stuff for other people to take care of. It bothers me a lot because of how much it bothers me when it's done to me. I think she knew. She's like, yeah, he's not awake right now. Like, I was sleeping so much. I mean, I must have slept about like 6-8 hours during the day. So I overslept for one, and then I went back to sleep and slept for like another 3 hours. It was like, I'm drained. I can't Can't deal, dog. Can't deal. So that was cool. I was really appreciative of that. I need to make sure I let her know, too, that did not go unnoticed. That was really awesome. So, yeah, a little tip for you guys. You know, it's the little things. You know, the little things mean a lot. They go a long way. You don't need a pat on the back for them every time you do them. But trust me when I say that, like, the little things don't go unnoticed. They do go. They're very much appreciated. And you never know what you could be doing that could change the course of somebody else's day, change their attitude just by doing a little tiny thing that might not seem like a lot on the surface, but it could be the one thing that just sends them over the edge or pulls them back from it. So take an extra couple seconds out of your day, look around, use all your senses. You know, if you don't know, ask if you ultimately can't figure it out. And then, like, yeah, just help out, you know. Hey, did you need this done today? I can get this for you while I'm doing this if you don't mind doing that. Shit, trade things off. It's a good way to function as a human being. This is especially helpful for folks who like live in like a multifamily home. She's seen a lot of multi-generational homes pop up because, you know, rent and mortgages are insane right now, more so than ever. And, you know, people who are sharing a living space, whether you've got roommates or partners that you cohabit with, you know, whatever your situation is, this could be a good little pointer to kind of help alleviate some unnecessary tension in the home. Another good way to alleviate some unnecessary tension is to get toasted, get roasted, get schwasted, get baked, get fried, get high. And sooner than we might think, that might be the possibility here in the state of Florida. Legalized recreational marijuana is currently heading towards the ballot box in the state of Florida. There are some interesting caveats behind this. I'm going to go and lay it down for you guys, especially if you're a native Floridian. This might be something to pay attention to. If you like to take a token of ganj, you definitely want to be paying attention come November 5th and make sure you vote to get this initiative started. First of all, we're going to break it down in the short, broad strokes. It's going to be legalized for anybody over the age of 21, in which you'll be able to carry 3 ounces of marijuana with up to 5 grams of that allowable in the form of a concentrate. So I'm thinking they're probably going to be levying that towards vape pens, gummies, things of that nature. The vote, like I said, is going to be on November 5th this year, and the Florida Supreme Court voted 5-2 to add this amendment, which is known as Amendment 3, onto the ballot. There are some sticky points on this, though, that everybody needs to be mindful of if you're going out to the ballot box. This could help, not just for you and your recreational smoke, but also it could help those who maybe benefit from medical marijuana as well. Certain people who are going through chemotherapy or have some other, you know, eating disorders have been known to use medical marijuana as a way to bring an appetite stimulant into their life. Helps alleviate nausea from chemotherapy or other radiation treatments. So there's plenty of good things about the legalization of marijuana that can and should be available to everyone. So just keep in mind, the primary challenge that we're going to have is that there are people in the state who are going to push back against it. Drug Free America is just one. There are various other conservative watchdog groups that are trying to fight back against the legalization of weed, and I don't understand why. Those are the people who probably need it the most. You know what I mean? Smoke a bowl, chill the fuck out, and relax, dude. It's not that serious. But they're definitely going to push against it. In fact, Florida's Attorney General Ashley Moody filed a challenge to the ballot measure in the first place, saying the claim was that the measure that was put on the table was going to, quote, confuse voters. No. I think people kind of understand what legal recreational weed means. So, in order for this to pass, it needs a 60% of ballots being cast at vote yes. Currently, it's only going to allow for medical sales outlets to be able to sell the recreational marijuana. That's mainly predicated on this interesting thing where we have a vertically integrated business structure when it comes to medical marijuana, which means that everything is controlled by whomever it is that's selling the medical marijuana. They control the production and the marketing. They call it from seed to sale. So from the very time they plant the stuff to the time it goes out the door in a bag in your hand, they control all of that. Interestingly enough, the measure would allow for the state legislature to authorize additional adult use business licenses for recreational marijuana, but it doesn't require the legislature to do it, which is a little sticky. It's like, sure, you can vote to let other places get a hold of this. Are you gonna? Or is it going to end up being like I've always said, you know, you're only going to see it in stores before you'll see it in a farmer's market. You know what I mean? It'll be in a 7-Eleven. It'll be in your local grocery store before you'll see it. You know, like Dave down the street can't grow the shit, which is another thing that's not on the ballot, is that it doesn't allow for expungement of past marijuana convictions or for people to cultivate their own strains or their own plants at home, which for some might be more counterintuitive than others. But then for some folks, it might be the best thing, because if you're dealing with, like I said, chemotherapy or radiation therapy, sometimes those conditions, those treatments can leave you bedridden and or unable to really exert yourself to go out to a store or to, you know, maybe go up and down flights of stairs or whatever. Whatever your limitations may be, it might actually be advantageous for you to have a couple of plants that you can grow in your backyard, you know, or in your garage, so that you don't have to go too far to get what you need. And that's a sticky wicket for me too, because I'm like, you know, obviously there's no reason that we're legalizing marijuana across the board, across the country, and there's still people in jail for the shit. That's a real big problem that we have. Again, this is also a lot of conservative watchdog groups that are like, yeah, well, you broke the law then, so you're screwed now. It's like, this should never have been a problem. You know what I mean? It's not like we're legalizing murder or something like that. It's not the purge. These people are doing stuff like, yeah, I got caught with like a dime bag in my car, and now I have to be in jail for like 3 or 5 years. What the hell is that all about? The real reason why this wasn't put into the ballot measure, however, was because they knew that making these expungements happen and, you know, legalizing home sale or home, you know, cultivation was going to open too many doors that they didn't want to have open, namely the ones on prison cells. And because for-profit prisons are still a thing in this country, yeah, if you start letting people out for little tiny offenses for things that we've currently legalized, where's your slave labor go to? They're out and free now. You get an expungement for this. Oh, well, guess what? You've got other people out there. Maybe it's a felony conviction that they got. Now they can vote. Oh no, what happens? The balance of power starts to shift. And nobody wants that. Well, at least nobody who's power hungry wants that. The rest of us should all want that. So hopefully we'll see this thing come to fruition. And yeah, you know, hopefully it would come the, let's see, they said that the measure wouldn't take effect in full until 6 months after the vote was cleared. So, I mean, you're still looking at December, January, February, March, April, May of next year before you'd be legally allowed to purchase recreational marijuana. And I guarantee you by that time, you're going to have enough people who are like, hey, if I want to get like X amount of whatever, you know, like X amount of weed from this place, I just need to bring like 6 or 7 friends along. You know what I mean? They don't smoke the weed, but I need to be able to get enough of it to get back home. I give everybody a couple ounces, we're good. So if we get pulled over by the police, no one person gets pinched. People are going to start getting real creative. You know how creative stoners can be when they want to smoke in the first place. So just watch how they get creative if you try to put limitations on what's supposed to be legal for them to have. Let's hope things get better. Things will change slowly, bit by bit. We'll get there. Yeah, I'm going to wrap it up, but I just wanted to say, like, I've been noticing that my keyboard, and I have a Logitech Gboard, like a Logitech keyboard, and I love the keyboard. I love the clickety clack of the mechanical keys. One thing I've noticed though is over time they've worn smooth and slick in certain areas. And even if I, like, you know, dust it, vacuum the creases, and I get like a little bit of, you know, just maybe like some rubbing alcohol to like lightly clean off the key surfaces, they're just worn kind of smooth in places. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe it's time to look into keycaps. I definitely need to upgrade my entire setup. Just looking at the strings of cords and various accoutrements that are sitting around my desk for streaming, I'd love to streamline this thing. Maybe get my new streaming desk and take this workbench out into the garage. Something a little bit lighter, more nimble. Something that's not crushing the piling in the carpet. Yeah, and then just upgrade some of the equipment. So if you guys have any recommendations for like keycaps, you know, that would work for the Logitech keyboards, I'd love to hear some of those. The caps seem like they'd be kind of an issue. There's obviously little tools and whatnot to help you take them off safely and replace them, swap them out. But I just definitely need to watch some videos on it so I can make sure I don't break my stuff. And then also, because sometimes tech reviews can be a little bit too subjective, if you guys have any recommendations or whatever, hit the Patreon. It's free to join. You can just follow for free. If you want to use your 7-day free trial to sign up and listen to the past episodes, by all means do that, but don't hesitate to leave me a message. I'll definitely try to read some of those if I get them and they're on, you know, the free version of the podcast, great. But if they're in the paid versions, shoot, I would love to read some of your recommendations if you've got them. Because the thing is, I'm kind of looking for function over form. It would be nice to have something that's really cute or really slick, you know what I mean? Something that maybe like I have a lighted keyboard. Some of these keys don't light up all the way. And they have secondary characters that don't light up, which is a stupid move, I think. Like, if you're going to have a light up keyboard, why is it only like half of the characters on there light up? I don't get it. So if you've got some recommendations, I'd love to hear them. I'm also looking for an Ethernet switch and an HDMI switch. I think I've got a good line on the Ethernet switch. The HDMI switch is going to be a little bit more difficult to sort out because as much as I do know about technology, I also know that when I read stuff from other people reviewing things, a lot of times it gets foggy because either they don't know how the technology is supposed to work or they know so much about how the technology is supposed to work that their article becomes obtuse. It's just so dense with, you know, technical jargon that even somebody who knows a good decent bit about technology can look at it and go like, that's a lot. Just tell me, is it good or not, dude? So if you can keep your recommendations short, sweet, to the point, and if you have any links to those products, put them in the links on patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Send me a message on Patreon so I can check those out. And hopefully by bits and pieces, we'll be able to grow this setup into a proper streaming setup. Yeah, and that would be really great, really helpful if you guys could do that. So that being said, I think it's about time to wrap this up, get this out and get it moving because there are people who are definitely waiting for this episode of the podcast. I appreciate you guys. Do me a favor. If you get a chance, check out streamlabs.com/linkib/merch. And while you're over there, maybe bookmark a thing or two. As the new designs start to come in, I'm going to be reshaping the logos. I know I've said this for a while. It's just I'm finally getting to the point where I think I'll have the time and the wherewithal to pull that off. So go and check that out. Bookmark that page. That'd be great. Also, feel free to check me out over on Twitch at twitch.tv/linkib. That's LINKIBE for gaming content, little side rants, and hopefully some shenanigans over the next couple of weeks as we start introducing some new and old formats back into the stream. Again, patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Get your 7-day free trial. Follow for free if you want to just see what's up. But, you know, try your 7-day free trial. Let me know what you think. Send me some messages. Let's get it popping. Let's get it moving. And as always, thank you guys so much for everything you've done to support myself, this podcast, this stream. And I'm super grateful. None of this matters. None of this makes sense. None of it happens without you. So whether you just listen to the podcast on silent, you know, put it on play on repeat while you leave and go to work or do whatever, if you let your friends listen to it, tell a coworker or a family member, share it on your social media, all the stuff that you guys have done definitely does help. And it does elevate the podcast. And we're just step by step, we're getting closer and closer to a point where I'll be able to do some of the more high level ideas that I have for this, not the least of which is maybe having some guest appearances on the show. That's going to do it. Thank you guys again. You guys are amazing. I appreciate you guys so much. So I'm Link Flores. This has been a Wandering One Studios production of the Wandering One podcast. Have a wonderful day. Be good. And I'll see you a little further on down the road. Peace.